Monuments Men Radio is about to go live.
I hope we play music.
Calling London and all the ships at sea. All right, listen up, fellas. As I think you should know the truth as I see it.
Roger that.
What was it about this particular story you wanted to pursue?
Well, Grant, who's my producing and writing partner, we were sitting on the floor of my office and I said, you know, every film we do is pretty cynical, pretty angry, unhappy ending kind of films that we appreciate and we like. And I said, I think we're the least cynical two people I know. I thought we should do something that's, you know, got a happy ending and do something that actually where the good guys win.
Your character says that, you know, this is just the beginning. Millions of works of art were stolen. Here we are, 2014.
Sure.
Same thing applies.
Absolutely.
You know, we saw the Gurlitt Hall. In America, too, there's sure. lots of museums, namely MoMA, actually, Museum of Modern Art, where there's been claims and criticisms that they're not being open enough. What do you think about that? Do you think they should be making more effort to look into the provenance of some disputed artwork?
Yes, it is an ongoing process. I worry about, and this isn't American museums, this is museums all over the world, there are statutes of limitations on claims, and they tend to drag their feet in the hopes that those statutes of limitations. I think if it's disputed art, it should at least be talked about. I got myself in some Dutch, apparently, about the Elgin marbles from the Parthenon, and I got asked a question by a Greek journalist at a Berlin press conference.
I would like to ask you, what's your proposal for us Greeks to reclaim our monuments back from England?
I think you have a very good case to make about your artifacts, and I think it wouldn't be a bad thing if they were returned.
So you're saying send it back?
I think they should. I think at some point it's the right thing to do.
So George, you are star, writer, mm-hmm. producer, director of this movie.
Yeah.
Can you ever take too much on?
I've been doing this a while. I did that on Good Night and Good Luck. I did it on Ides of March. You know, it's not something that I feel overwhelmed by. I would much rather not be in the movies that I direct. It's a lot easier to direct other people than to direct yourself.
Every single one of those paintings is a masterpiece. The Nazis are on the run, but they're taking everything with them. So we have to get as close to the front as we can. Preston, you and Campbell head towards Ghent.
What's in Ghent?
Used to be the altarpiece.
It hasn't had universally good reviews.
Yeah, we got thumped in the States, so I've been beat up a lot.
Doesn't hurt at all? Doesn't affect you?
Well, if I read them, it probably would, because I think reading anything negative is probably, you know, would be hurtful if you're not, unless you're a robot.
It's a tricky topic, isn't it? Fine art and mass audiences. You know, you say art to a lot of people, you know, mention Rembrandt, they start snoring.
Their eyes just glaze over. And I have to say, I don't know that much about art myself. I grew up in Kentucky and wasn't high on my list of things to study in school. But what we came to understand about it was that in telling the story was that it was so much less about a specific piece of art and so much more about what Hitler was trying to do, which was systematically not just kill you, not just conquer you, but then to make it as if you never existed. And I've seen that in other worlds. I've seen that when I go to the Sudan, when you see actions that could be called genocide. It's not just that they kill the people or rape them so that they won't have children again. It's also that you'll destroy any sort of historical landmarks, anything that marked that they were there. You want to wipe them from the face of the earth.
Those are bullets. Those are bullet wounds there.
Yeah.
And do you know who is attacking them? Does she know who it is that's attacking
them? So this isn't a war of retaliation. This is simply trying to clear people out ethnically because of the color of their skin.
Yes. You've been particularly focused on Darfur, South Sudan.
No, it's a mess. Look, it's the newest country in the world. And the question is the outcome going to be Ghana or is it going to be Somalia? You know, there's only a couple of ways it can go. There's some real similarities as you watch what's going on in Egypt, which is South wanting their own independence, and they voted 95% to do it. You had to put people together who have been enemies for a long, long time. And they put away those arguments once they got their independence, they looked around and they remembered that they didn't like each other. And that's what's happening now. There's a peace talks going on as we speak. I have great hope for them.
Do you think you still have a role to play?
I have a satellite over the South Sudan that's actually very effective, and we've collected a lot of data, and we know it's effective because Bashir stopped attacking during the day. But the role to play now is to try and find the most solid version of the next steps and to promote that as much as possible. At the UN, I can go and make it louder, but I can't change any of the policies.
Thinking of politics and closer to home, you've been a passionate supporter of Obama.
Sure. I'm interested to see what the next one will be. I assume that it'll be Hillary Clinton running.
And will Hillary Clinton get the same sort of support and largesse from you? Will you be throwing a party to raise money for her?
I would absolutely do that. I mean, I believe very much in her as a leader. I think she's very smart. I think it would be her time.